Conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme. Sit back and relax, because we're having a nice, relaxed programme tonight. Music, song. We're not having dance, because you can't see dance. Even though I remember Dinjo on the wireless long ago on Radio Air, and Dinjo had introduced the dancers, and the people had the dance away, and we'd be at home sitting down. We'd be listening to the dancing, would you believe? Did you ever hear anything like it in your whole life? But we haven't dancing tonight, but we've a lot more, because for nearly 20 years now, above in John B. Keane's pub, above in the stall, every Tuesday night, they would have some song and dance and theatre, and the John B. Keane Theatre. But do you know what I'm going to do? My special guest this evening is Billy Keane, and we're going to talk about all of that. Billy, you're very welcome to the programme.
It's a great honour to be here, Wishy.
I know that, Billy, and I'm glad you appreciate it.
And do you know what? I think we both, it's an honour for both of us, Wishy. It's been such modest show you made in
this. It's great to have you here. Come here, introduce our guests and tell us about the pub theatre.
Well, the pub theatre, this is the 19th year. It's the longest running in Ireland that we know of. And it's on every Tuesday and Thursday night, July and August. So I have a star-studded lineup. And if you don't mind, can I just take over your programme for just a minute or two?
How would you do presenting the programme?
I'd say that people would be heartbroken if they didn't hear you every now and then, Wishy.
No, but there'd be a lot of people might be delighted.
Maybe so. My voice will give out after a while. Well, we have a famous first guest anyway, and I'll just give you the background to the song that he's going to sing for us. You know, my dad died on the 30th of May, 10 years ago. And on the day he died, just outside the window of the pub, I spotted Lee's hand from my own paper, the Irish Independent, and she was interviewing an old man. So he drifted off, and I said, Lee, what did he say to you? And I just happened to be kind of nosing around, as they do. Well, she said, I asked him, what did he think of John B? And I said, and what did he say? He says, John B was the smartest man of them all. He took down what we said, and then he charged us to read it.
Which he did.
So I thought that was a lovely tribute.
Come here. Well, your dad was very observant. On the same point of what you said there, he actually did do that. But it isn't everybody can do it, Billy, or could do it. Is that right now?
No, he spotted everything. Like, when you were a young fella.
It's an afternoon.
If you came back home a bit late from Ballybunion at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you were sneaking in, he'd sense it. He'd be there waiting for you. And he'd say, you had a good night of it. That'd be all. He'd know anyway, like, be watching out, you know.
Pick up things like that, isn't
he? Oh, he was deadly.
He had some kind of
serious power that none of us know how it worked, you know.
That's what helped make him the great.
Yeah. But there's another man that spots a lot of stuff too, and it's Mickey McConnell, Lucio, the famous Mickey McConnell. So around that time, we wanted an official tribute. So we asked Mickey at the price of a pint of Heineken, because he's a family friend, a great friend of my dad's.
I didn't know Mickey drank.
To lubricate his vocal cords. He has a fine raspy voice, you know, from years of smoking and nicotine and whiskey, so he describes it. But he's one of our most famous singer-songwriters. So we asked him to write a special tribute. And the song just sums up John B so much.
Nick, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Wishy.
You've sung this song a lot, Bill. Is it one of the ones that be requested the most of all?
Ah, yes, especially around the stall, around the pub theatre, because it's... It seems very appropriate to be singing it in John B's.
It does, of course,
People keep asking for it. And,
You're keeping great yourself, mate.
Ah, sure,
That's good. It's always great to have you, my friend.
The song is called The Footprints of John B. And was inspired by the way he used to walk around the town. Lights have all dimmed and died, and the props are put away. But our town felt just as lonely as May turned into tune. When God finally rang the curtain down and called our playwright home. cannot kill the rainbow, nor turn back the rising sun, nor undo the works of gifted men, even though their day is done. For they always walk beside us when the things they had to say are a part of what we were and are, and forms the center of our ways. So search for him in Market Street, Pound Lane, or in the square, or late afternoon in Church Street, so you'll surely find him there. Or where the laughing, sparkling, silvery field sweeps westward to the sea, there you'll follow in the shadows of the footprints of John Dee. And he always seemed to hear a tune that others seldom heard, as he walked through his beloved streets or in the woods of Gertenart. He would pause and talk to children, knowing each and every name of their seat and generation and the place from where they came. And the countrymen he wrote about, the corner boys and knaves, slipped from reality the printed words and into actors on the stage. And their language that he captured, all the things they had to say, meant the man who loved his native town never really went away. So search for him in Market Street, on the lane, or in the square, or rounding Scully's corner, so you'll likely find him there. Or where the laughing, sparkling, silvery field sweeps westward to the sea, there you'll follow in the shadows of the footprints of John Dee. All the poets and the writers came their last goodbye, as did the actors and the critics, the mighty and the high, as they mingled with the town folk on his last sad journey home. Then each and every one knew well we were parting with our own. But I take comfort from the shadows, for shadows mean the sun still shines to melt the clouds above us and the ones that fog our minds. And each time the pen confronts the sword for the likes of you and me, there you'll find the gentle shadow and the spirit of John Dee. So search for him in Market Street, Pound Lane, or in the square, or somewhere out the Marquis Bridge, you'll surely find him there. Or where the laughing, sparkling, silvery field sweeps westward to the sea, there you'll follow in the shadows of the footprints of John Dee. So there is nowhere quite so lonely as a silent, darkened stage, when the footlights have all dimmed and died and the props are put away. But our town felt just as lonely as May turned into June, when God finally rang the curtain down, called our playwright.
Great stuff, Mickey McConnell. Yeah, great stuff. Your voice is as good as ever, thanks be to God, Mick. Well, sweet as ever.
It seems very strange to be staying, playing and singing when it's still daylight.
I bet it.
I'm like a bat. I bet it does. I come out better than dark.
And of course, the song tells the story about Billy walking all along the store here and there. And I had one memory I have in my mind. I was going to match in the store one day where I parked. I was walking up past the graveyard. And I just turned over to my left across the road. And there's a lane or something coming down over there. Next thing I saw, your dad with a gabardine on him and a cap to the side of his head coming down the lane, round the corner and off into the match.
Oh, that was his style, yeah.
And he was after taking kind of a shortcut, I'd say. Yeah.
And he liked you, Weeshie, very much, even though you were a referee. But you know, as you mentioned, the graveyard, just a couple of weeks before he died, there was a man called John Keane, who was a family friend, died. And it was strange for him to go to the funeral mass and hear John Keane, because it was really an audition or a rehearsal for his own funeral. But you know the way he was, the sense of humour, you know, the two of us were walking out. He insisted on coming up to the graveyard, and we were walking out, the two of us. And he says, you know, Bill, he says, it's hardly worth my while coming home.
Yeah.
You know, he just had it figured out. He was philosophical and he was ready. He was ready for that big journey, you know.
I know,
The last act. I thought Mickey did it beautifully.
Beautifully.
Know.
Next Tuesday night now, Billy, you're starting off.
We'll have more to say.
Tuesday night, what happens exactly now?
What happens is people just come in and, I mean, our stage is the pub.
Yeah.
And we don't charge. But we'd like if people had a drink. Occasionally they come in and to bring in coffee and burgers and sandwiches and sit down. But we don't charge. It's just something we started 19 years ago. Gives people a chance to come out. Maybe people that mightn't normally go to a play or go to theatre, they can go in a relaxed atmosphere and enjoy the night, It's fun. It's meant to be fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know.
And sometimes we have a sing-song afterwards if Mickey and myself are in the humour.
Yeah. Your dad's favourite song, it was a Western song, wasn't it?
The Black Hills of Dakota. We usually sing it at the end. But you know, we might sing it at the end of the night tonight.
You know, we will, actually.
We'll keep a couple of minutes for it, maybe.
We'll make sure we're at the end of the week we'll sing the Black Hills of Dakota. And I remember being up there one night. I don't know, John and myself were staying up there, and he went in for a few pints, and he joined us. And he'd always seem to be joining. John B. always seemed to have time to join everybody, didn't he? He had time for everybody, and he made everybody feel more important than himself. Everyone. But anyway, we finished up anyway, singing the Black Hills of Dakota, and I remember it from that. Do you know? Now we're going to break. Now I'm going to let you bring us into the break now and tell us what's going to happen after. Now, over to you, Noble.
Well, after the break, we have.
We're going to the break first.
Oh, come on, so.
You must say, no, we're going to the break just here.
Oh, sorry, Weeshie. I'm slow at this radio game.
You're presenting.
My first time on. Well, now we're going to the break. We're giving Weeshie a break as well.
When we come back,
we'll have the fabulous Bat O'Keefe, who will do an excerpt from Sive.
And you'll never introduce who's on sound tonight.
Andrew is on sound tonight.
No.
He's producing.
He's David.
David is on sound.
I was trying you out, just see.
Well, no, you see.
David O'Donoghue.
You see, I was just testing you too, Weeshie.
I was trying you out there now, just see. Yeah. I was trying. So, we're going for a break. David O'Donoghue is on sound. And when we come back, come on, what do we say?
And when we come back, which is what I thought I was doing, we'll have the fabulously important and wonderful Bat O'Keefe and Claire Keane. And Gabriel Fitzmaurice is on his way from my van.
Not Bat O'Keefe, the politician, no.
Nothing whatsoever to do with him, in fact. This man is a man of the utmost reputation and highly regarded in the community.
Lovely stuff. Well done.
In conversation with Weeshie Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
You're very welcome back to the programme next Monday night and Terrace Talk. Don't miss it. I have a special interview with Mick Byrne. He was a physio with the Irish international team for 25 years. Don't miss it. He's talking about the European Championship and he's talking about Roy Keane. Don't miss that next Monday night on Terrace Talk. Billy, I heard Mark, messages in. Billy, I heard Mark Lean from Tralee doing the field back in Paddy O'Shea's barn Ventry. He was excellent. Will he ever play the bull, Jimmy O'Sullivan in Dingle?
He did the bull for my father. He was just a drama student in RADA in London, which is the biggest best drama academy in the world.
Yeah.
So Mark has a big drama background. And he did the bull, and he went on about Carrick Tormund, and is my field, John B. And he was brilliant.
Yeah. I thought the best part of the field was when he was inside with the priest, when Richard Harris was inside in the presbytery with the priest talking about. Anyway, a lovely program with she. Billy is the very same as his dad. I could listen to him forever. And a lovely song by Mickey McConnell, very emotional. Thank you. Over to you, Billy. What's coming up next in conversation?
Well, we have Bat O'Keefe, who's a retired teacher, a great actor. Current captain of Ballybunion Golf Club, And he's going to do a piece from Psy for us, which of course is the play that got my dad on the road.
Yeah.
And the piece is from Tomasi and Sean Rua, who was a matchmaker. And he wasn't exactly a romantic. So when Mina Glavin said that Psy wanted to marry for love, Tomasi and Sean Rua gave her her answer.
Love, in the name of God, woman. Did you ever hear her husband mention love? Here you did not, girl. Did he ever give her a behind the ear? Or run his fingers through your hair? Or tell her that he'd swim the Shannon for you? Huh? Do he be singing love songs to you on the far out part of the night when he'd be alone together? He'd sooner stick his snout into a plate of mating cabbage or rub the back of a fattening pig than whisper a bit of fondness to you. Do he run to you when he comes in from the bog and throw the arms around you and give a big smahanic of a kiss and tell her that the lint of the day was like a million years while he was separated from her? Could you ever say now, woman, that he brought you a token of a brooch or a bit of finery? Probably a few pence worth of musty sweets when the drink made him foolish on a fair day. And to hear you blathering about love, so wouldn't you think he was out of his mind if he put his hands around you in the public road?
Well done.
Lovely sub, Pat, lovely sub. And you know, listen to it, and when you do sit back and listen to it, is every word of it is kind of, it resonates, doesn't it?
Well, they say
Bat, well done, Pat. And I must tell the listeners, all off the top of his head, as the fellow says.
Yeah, no script. He just landed off by heart.
Now, of course, I suppose we were a small bit ignorant leaving the ladies the last bill. What happened, Joe, there? You slipped up there.
I'll tell you what happened. Claire has had a very busy day today, because Claire, she also, you know, she's a fantastic singer, former voice of Kerry, performed in the National Concert Hall, performed for the President at the opening of Writers' Week. And she's also used to work in John B's bar when she was a student. But now she's married and is about 11 months pregnant with the second baby. And on top of all that, she runs a dog grooming business in her native Liselton, and it's called Woof.
Claire, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about the dog grooming business.
Dog grooming? What's to say? Washing, blowing, drying dogs. Love it. Absolutely love it.
And so, how's it going?
Great, thanks to God.
Is it the only one in Kerry?
Oh, no. There's plenty around, so there is,
So if I had the big dog at home now, I want to get him groomed, would I ring you up?
Even yourself, we should have just twice when you look, and Mickey is a big head of hair myself. We look a bit unkempt at times, so maybe she could do a job on us.
Anyway, Claire, what are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do one of John B's songs, Sweetest Doll.
Oh, lovely, beautiful stuff.
Can I just say something before she starts?
To your programme, Bill.
Thank you, Wish. There's a special verse that John B was mad about Claire, her singing and as a person, and he wrote a special verse for her. So it's the first time it's going to be sung on Radio Kerry.
Lovely.
So she's going to do it for us tonight.
Oh, sweet Lestole, I've loved you all my days. Your towering spires and shining streets and squares, where sings the field its everlasting lays, and whispers to you in its evening prayers. Of all fair towns, none has so sweet a soul, nor gentle folk compassionate and true. Where'er I go, I love you, sweet Lestole, and off my distant cap each day to you. Down by the field, the willows dip their wands, by magic bowers where soft the night wind sighs. How oft I've roved along your moonlit lands, where late love blooms and first love never dies. Of all fair towns, none has so sweet a soul, nor gentle folk compassionate and true. Where'er I go, I love you, sweet Lestole, and off my distant cap each day to you. And so, dear friends, I bid farewell to you, as fate ordains for me a far-off role. Dear friends and neighbors, here's my fond adieu, until we meet once more in sweet Listowel. Of all fair towns, none has so sweet a soul, nor gentle folk, compassionate and true. Where'er I go, I love you, sweet Listowel, and off my distant cap each day to you. And off my distant cap each day to you.
Beautiful stuff there. That's absolutely well done. That's absolutely. We're going to be having another movie before the show is out. Come here. You're singing all your life. Did you start singing when you were a young girl? Is it in the family?
Yeah, I started singing with since I was 10.
Yeah.
So I started off with Ordre O'Carroll here in Tralee. And at the moment, I am attending. Well, I'm hoping to finish my performance diploma with Aidan O'Carroll.
Yeah, was there singing in the family?
My mother would be great. Even though my father claims it, my mother would be a great singer herself. So.
Yeah.
And they can all sing.
Yeah. So. Before we go for a break, we'll have Mickey now straight away. When we come back, Bill. Any memorable moments? Any memorable events? Or any memorable thoughts and memories about those nights, those Tuesday nights?
Yeah, some of the Tuesday nights. I remember the first Tuesday night that I performed myself. The first time I took up this very late in life. I know it's going to come as a great shock to the listeners who probably see me as doing it all my life because I'm so good and wonderful. But what happened was we had this fella.
Say that because we all know it, Billy. We all know how.
We had this fella who was performing, and he was a wonderful actor. And he came down for the summer. This is the very first summer we did it. And then what happened? But he fell in love with a girl around these parts and left his wife up the other side of the country. And one night we were sitting down, the two of us, at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And his wife was up in the north, and he says to me, "I think I'll go back to the wife." "What do you think?" I said, "You might be as well off." I said, So he got in the car, and he said, "But I'm letting you in the lodge. Don't worry, we'll think of something." So the following night, I said, "Go on away. You know, this is more important than the night." And the following night, I stood up for 40 minutes and told every joke that I ever knew, and told a couple of them twice. I was in such a panic. So that's how I kind of got into it, and that was how it kind of got going to another level then.
Who else takes part in it, Billy?
Well, we have Owen Hand, who's often been in Matuda, you know, the famous singer and manager. And he's an incredible song that he's going to sing for us. It's called Monica's Song, and it's about the Brazen Head. He's not with us tonight. He's at a commentary in Dublin.
Yeah.
And it was written by Mickey, for Owen especially. And it's an incredible song. It's got a huge reaction. And it's about the Brazen Head pub. And it's called Monica's Song because Owen's mammy. His mother was Monica, and Owen lived in the Brazen Head, and his mother ran the pub.
Would you like to bring us into the break now? No, you're getting used to it. You're on your warming up.
I'll bring you into the break, definitely. We have Andrew producing and Declan on sound.
What about David?
Well, I just have a bit of a problem with names, Michael, and Weishi, sorry, and David on sound. I'm writing the feckin' thing down this time now.
You're the one thing I learned,
David, I'm just really sorry about this, but someday you'll come back and you'll be even more famous.
One thing I learned about radio now that you're presenting a programme is always write down the names, because I was caught myself times and I didn't know who I was talking to. Anyway, come on, we're going for a break. Tell the listeners.
We're going for a break. I just see Gabriel Fitzmaurice looking in the window like a boy looking in a sweet shop. Yeah. He's just arrived fresh from my van. He's going to come straight after the break and go into a very funny poem about Pelly Bunyan. Yeah.
So we're going for a break, are we?
I think we should. I could do one more anyway.
Okay.
In conversation with Weishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. Terrace Talk next Monday night, 6 to 8, a special interview with John Coleman, the former great Cork footballer. He says the best game of football ever played was the 1976 drawn extra time of the Munster final. He played in that himself, and I agree with him. The best game of football I have ever seen was the 1976 Munster football final replay and extra time, and John Coleman brings us back down memory lane next Monday in Terrace Talk. Don't miss it. We're talking to Billy Keane and friends from Listowel because his big nights are starting next Tuesday night above in the bar. Everyone is welcome. It'll cost you nothing. Only go in and have a drink, you can anything at all, and listen to the best. Billy, who are we having next? We'll move on.
We're going to bring back Mickey McConnell, and he's going to do a love song for us. And We all know Mickey is famous for many songs like Only a River's Run Free, but this one is called Supermarket Wine, and there's not a woman in Ireland that won't be weak at the knees after she hears this one.
I'm delighted we're joined by Gabriel Fitzmaurice. Gabriel, you're very welcome. We'll be talking to you soon.
It's a half-time substitution.
Yeah, good sub to bring on. Super sub.
Insist we'd share the driving when we left the city lights in the clapped-out Morris Minor, heading west on Friday night, and the heater wasn't working and we never had a spare, but we called that old car Flattery, for it got us everywhere. And when we'd stop to pitch the tent, it would always seem to rain. And it's then that I'd discover you'd forgot the pegs again. And I couldn't get the campfire lit, no matter what I tried. Don't you remember? We had roadside stops for bread and cheese and supermarket wine, when the world was ours and I was yours, and I thought you were mine. Do you remember Galway races and the man in harness to lead, who, because he knew your father, said he'd do us a good deed? And the horse he put our money on, nights where it's running still, and we were staying in a boarding house and couldn't pay the bill. But you laughed when I went overboard, you told me not to swear, saying the town's full of Americans, let's go busking in our square. And the Blarney Stone and the Leprechauns are sure to see us through. Don't you remember? Sank Danny Boy in Galway Bay at least 87 times, and the world was ours and I was yours, and I thought you were mine. You called me from the airport just before you caught your plane, and you told me you were leaving, but that I was not to blame. And you hoped that I would understand and we'd always be good friends. But I knew from what you said that we would never meet again. And I must confess it hurt like hell, and that I miss you yet. For you were not the sort of girl that's easy to forget. And sometimes some half-forgotten fragment of you trips my mind. And I remember all the roadside stops for bread and cheese and supermarket wine, when the world was ours and I was yours, I thought you were mine. All the roadside stops for bread and cheese and supermarket wine, when the world was ours and I was yours, and I thought you were mine.
Lovely stuff, Mick. Great stuff. Supermarket wine. Lovely stuff.
Fantastic,
well,
Mick.
Done. Who we next, Bill?
Next, we have young Gabriel Fitzmaurice, one of our most famous poets and
authors.
Came straight from my van, author, and he's carrying on the flame that was lit by John B. and Brian McMahon and Brendan Kennelly and all the other great writers.
Very welcome, Gabriel.
Thanks very much, Weishi.
What are you going to do for us?
Saying that today is the day that Martin McGuinness shook the hand of Queen Elizabeth, or Queen Elizabeth shook the hand of Martin McGuinness, whichever way you want to look at it, I thought it might be nice to remember the Queen's visit to Ireland. I have never said this poem in public before. I've never published it as yet. It's about a year old, but I like to let things mature a bit before I'm sure of them. Yeah. I'm pretty sure of it now. The Queen, I thought, made a tremendous visit to Ireland. She bowed to our dead at the Garden of Remembrance. She came dressed in green, and she spoke an Irish to our president. And I think it led the way to the shaking of hands between Martin McGuinness and herself today. So it's just called An Irishman Salutes the Queen.
Very appropriate.
It's a sonnet, should I say. And as I said before in this programme, it was John B. Keane who got me to write sonnets first day, and I owe all my sonnets to John B. Keane.
Lovely, Gabriel.
An Irishman Salutes the Queen. You came, you saw, you conquered, English Rose. No Caesar come to keep our people down. You bowed to the memory of those who rose against your country and your crown. The past at last forgiven, now it's time to face the future, confident that we can rise some hurt, as friends in hope we climb to live as equals, from ancient hatreds free. For no more can hate or ignorance divide. Oh, the bigotry in which we once were drilled. I remember all the Irish who have died. I bow before the English we have killed. You came to us, a monarch dressed in green. You understand your symbols. Welcome, Queen.
Lovely, beautiful.
Yeah.
Very appropriate. In the day it was in, it's
very
right.
Appropriate, yeah.
Billy, will we go for a break and come back then? Because
we will, and I can absolutely guarantee you David has done a great job in sound, and Andrew has been brilliant as well there in the dugout.
Andrew, of course, Andrew Morris is the man who produces the programme every evening.
I've been on with him loads of times in the afternoon, and, when you're in bed.
And he produces
your afternoon nap after your stroll around the park.
Anyway, go on, bring us to the break.
And we'd like to thank Weishi also for his wonderful performance on the ukulele tonight. Now, after the break, we're going to have another little bit of drama from Bat O'Keefe, and there's going to be an element of matchmaking in this as well, and an element of how you can get a woman who is not exactly amorous in the bedroom to up her game, as they say in the GA, you and I will understand that, and maybe, you know, get a bit more frisky late at night.
Lovely. We'll all look forward to that.
In conversation with Weishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, you're very welcome back to a different kind of an in conversation that I'm enjoying immensely anyway, I can tell you that. And by the way, another thing, on Terrace Talk next Monday night, Tierna Bowl National School in Killarney, outside Killarney, celebrated 100 years yesterday, would you believe? I was out there last night, got a series of interviews about the sporting history, going back through the fields in the school there. The great Donnie O'Sullivan, who Captain Kerry in 1970, was brought up in that school, went there, I spoke to him and a lot more people. Monday night, don't miss Terrace Talk. I'm talking to Billy Keane about the John B. Keane Theatre, which we're launching tonight and starting next Tuesday night. If you're around, if you're not around, make yourself around and drop in, because there's going to be a great crack there. There always is. I can assure you that if you're only passing through the store, if you have nothing to do, why don't you just drive right and say we go up and listen to what's going on. And Billy, what's going on here next, by the way?
No, we have a letter which will be read by Bat O'Keefe from Teddy Ted Biddy Mackesy to a man with a great name for a matchmaker, Dickie McDickie O'Connor.
Dickie, my great friend, may the stars shine through and may the rivers sing and may all your fields be green. But to you that has brought me from the black valley of despair to the mountains of delight. I bided my time like you told me, until one night didn't she complain of a blocked nose and a cold in the head? Oh, says I to myself, I'll put Dickie McDickie's cure to the test now. And there she was all the while, sniffing and sneezing like a badger rooting in the wood. I think I'll go to bed, she said. Oh, don't, says I, till you have a mug of cocoa. Oh, I couldn't bear cocoa tonight, she said. My head is that stuffed. Will you try it up a hot milk sauce, says I, with a grain of white pepper in it? I'll chance it, says she, although I know for sure t'will do me no good. I got my muller, poured in the milk, sprinkled it with the white pepper, and then, while the head was still bent by her, took out my nag in the poutine and lashed it with a likely dart of it. Down goes the muller to bile. Up comes the bubbles in no time. I filled up a mug for her. First she took a sip, and then another sip, and then God knows a good swallow. I want to God, she, but this white pepper is great stuff entirely. I find my head loosened already. Will you finish the drop we have left, says I, and I'll make some more for you. Or better still, let her go way up to your bed and I'll bring it up to her. I could hear her humming away and giggling to herself and she getting ready for the bed. It was what you might call now a contented sound. I doubled the dose of poutine this time and drank what was left in the bottle myself, you know, as a precaution against germs, you know. I filled up the mug for her then and made for the bedroom with the hope soaring in my bosom. For she took a good sip and then another sip and by jingoes didn't she drain every last single drop of it. For she sighed and then she cried and then she laughed. I got into bed alongside her and no sooner had my head hit the pillow than she threw the two arms around my neck and the two legs around my back. We must get more of that pepper tomorrow, Shishi.
Good stuff, Pat, good stuff. And I must tell the listeners that Pat prepares himself for that. I could see him there during the break, fixing his mind, getting himself composed for it, and he all that off the top, he said, well done, Pat. Lovely story about the poutine, the pepper. Now, Bill.
We get another little poem from Gabriel. It's from Splat, and it's, he has this great gift of writing poetry that makes kids happy and adults happy at the same time.
Yeah, we launched that book here.
We launched that book here.
You actually did. This one is about my daughter Nessa. This is a long time ago, I know, because Nessa is now the mother of our granddaughter, who is 2 years of age. You know, when you've been putting a child to bed, I suppose I was the softer of the two, the mammy and the daddy, so I was the one who usually put her to bed. And of course, you'd have to tell her a story. And then another story, and then another story. And then she still wouldn't go to sleep, so she wanted a drink of water. You gave her a drink of water, then she wanted to go to the toilet, you see. Anyway, for a finish, there was nothing left to do but to go to sleep when she thought of a plan. Play to my vanity, and this is what she said. Those of you who don't know me, I have a good gut. Daddy's belly. Daddy got a belly. It's very sticking out. And Mammy said he got it from drinking too much stout. Daddy's very cuddly. He's like a teddy bear. Safe and soft and spongy. Curly kind of hair. Daddy got a belly. He's going on a diet. Mammy said he better, and Daddy said he'd try it. Daddy got a belly, but soon he will be thinner, drinking no more porter and eating not less dinner.
Lovely stuff.
But I didn't lose my belly.
Lovely stuff. Lovely
stuff. No, we're going to have a song from Claire.
That all comes from your book?
Yes, yeah, Splat.
Splat.
Splat, yeah.
Gave it to my granddaughters at home, Lucy and Eva.
And they loved it.
And they really lapped it up.
Yeah.
Right, Bill.
Claire is going to sing another song for us, and it's a love song, which is very appropriate for a girl who's 7 months pregnant. And it's called Keelty, and it's from many young men of 20, and it's a song of longing. And I know that many of our listeners are overseas listening to this on the internet, and especially for them, it's called Keelty.
And there's one lady over in Wales listens every night, Phil O'Connell. Phil is listening to the programme over there, and Phil...
Well, Phil, this is for you, darling.
Lovely. She's an old Killarney lady who emigrated in the 50s from Northern District.
Well, this is about the 50s, yeah.
I'll be waiting for you where the cockerels cry, down here in Keelty where the heart in me dies. I'll be waiting for you till the heart in me sighs for the strength and love of you down here in Keelty. I'll be waiting for you where the small waters flow, down here in Keelty where the white thorns grow. The white fires of joy in your bosom will glow when you see your fine babe in my arms down here in Keelty. I'll be waiting for you where the cockerel cries, down here in Keelty where the heart in me dies. I'll be waiting for you till the heart in me sighs for the strength and love of you down here in Keelty.
Lovely stuff. Thank you will listen to Claire Keane. Mickey O'Connell was with me tonight. Billy Keane was in here because his big show is starting next Tuesday night in Bob and John.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, July and August.
And Thursday. And Beth O'Keefe was also with us. And we're going out, Billy. We're going out with?
We're going out with John B's national anthem, The Black Hills of Dakota.
Lovely.
All together.
Take me back to the Black Hills, the Black Hills of Dakota, to the beautiful Indian country that I love. Lost my heart in the Black Hills, the Black Hills of Dakota, where the pines are so high at the peaceful
with Rishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.